lesson this morning. If you didn't get material or you're visiting with us, there are some copies of the lesson back outside of those double doors on the podium in between them. So please feel free to get a copy of that. This morning we're doing lesson 7 and 8 together. The way this book has been broken down, there are several lessons about each topic, and so with 4 lessons in a row on meekness, I decided that we can condense the last 2 together. I think it'll work well that way. We've talked about it for a couple of weeks now, and this morning we want to think about how to apply it and how to put it into our life and in practical ways. So we've talked about application in some of the lessons about definition and about examples. So we'll take a look at a couple of different angles with that this morning as we think about how we learn to deny self and exhibit meekness and how that is a part of all of those things together. So that's where we'll go this morning. Let's begin this morning with a word of prayer, and then we'll begin our lesson together. Our great and awesome God, our Father in heaven, we humbly and meekly come before you, thanking you, Father, for the time that we have to be together in your word this morning. And Father, we recognize all of the different ways that we can apply meekness in our spiritual lives, and we pray this morning for an open mind and an open heart to accept what you have shown us and taught us and understand how we can put it into daily practice. We recognize, Father, that you are far wiser than anything man can conjure, and we understand that the way that you have put forth for us is the right way and the good way. Help us to accept that and to be willing to do it. It's easy, Father, to be distracted by the attitudes of the world around us. We are daily inundated with different things that lead us away from your truth. And we pray that you would help us this morning to refocus our efforts, to correct our course if needed, and to be back on track with what you would have us to be. We pray that you would help us to understand your word as you've intended it to be. We pray, Father, for wisdom, that we can use this word that you've given us in the right way, in ways that bring glory to you, in ways that would be an example for good to others, that you might be glorified and they might be drawn to you by the things that they see in us. Thank you, Father, for your plans and for the church and for the ways that we can encourage and help each other in these things. We pray that we would each be able to see this morning the needs of another and how we can encourage them in our walk before you. Help us to have a longer view and vision of our life, to understand that we are eternity-bound creatures looking for time together with you when this life ends. We pray for those on our minds this morning that deal with the difficulties of this life each and every day, that face the end of their lives or that are dealing with serious illness, disease, and recovery. We pray that you would comfort them and strengthen them with the things that they need. Thank you so much for our Savior, who is our comfort and strength and example and teacher. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so as we've been going through this and thinking about meekness, tonight, this morning we want to talk about meekness in our lives and what that looks like. I throw this definition up again. For the past 3 weeks we've kind of thought about this and trying to encapsulate in total what meekness is. Humility toward God and man. That's one word that you see it explained in the New Testament at different times. Submission to God's will, being willing to yield, to give ourselves to His will. That takes strength to be able to do that, accepting the discipline that we received and having the right attitude about those types of things. Gentleness and mildness. We're going to see some of that this morning when we look at some of these examples and how we deal with each other, how we deal with teaching, how we receive what it is that God wants of us. And of course, the idea of self-control. Being able to have that inner strength, to be able to have strength under control, as we've talked about the past few weeks, and how that applies to our Christian lives together. So when you look at Lesson 7 and Lesson 8, they talk about how to apply meekness in different ways. Thinking about ourselves and how to do so inwardly, and thinking about how we deal with other people and how meekness is important there. And remember, all of this is under the umbrella of living a life of self-denial. We have denied self. We have put ourselves under God's plan, under God's control. And that makes us, or requires us, to exhibit self-control then. So, I want to think first about this idea. We're going to follow through the two lessons and kind of the order that the things are in there. The idea of receiving the word with meekness. And he uses James 1:21 here. We've talked about this in a couple of different lessons and a couple of different classes. But in James 1:21, he says, "Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls." And so as the author starts to talk about this and what I want to start the discussion with this morning is understanding what it means to receive the word of God, but to do so with meekness and why that's important. So we looked at this passage a few weeks ago. Jeremiah says, and it records there for us in chapter 10, verse 23, "And I know, O Lord, the way of man, it is not in himself, that it is not in man who walks to direct his own steps." So think with me about this concept for just a minute. James tells us that we need to receive the word, the implanted word, with meekness, because it is able to save our souls. Jeremiah records for us that sometimes, you know, I gather from this verse that sometimes we don't want to receive what God tells us to do, that we want to find our own way. But he says that's not the way that it's going to go well for us. So what are some of the ways then? So we think about self-control, think about how we need to have meekness. What are some of the ways that we question or doubt the word of God? Yeah, Alan, what do you think?
Remember when we started this Bible class, there was something we wanted to do, and it was, I forget what the word was, I said it, I can't remember what it was. But the next word was action.
Okay.
Remember that?
I was thinking about what you're specifically referring to.
What did we still learn in this lesson? Is how to do ourselves in a godly way.
Okay.
And think of things that are pleasant. And consider things on evil or not evil.
Okay.
Things you shouldn't do.
All right. Yeah, so we need to be focused on understanding that God's word leads us in a peaceful way, that when we accept his word, that it is something that will guide our lives and make our lives more peaceful and more easy.
Another thing, don't be so negative about things that happen.
Okay. Yep, it starts with a great attitude, doesn't it? Yep, I think that's good. What else do you think? Yeah, Ruby?
Yeah, in teaching little children,
okay, so having a focus of considering what is God's will in this situation, especially maybe in a difficult situation or a situation that challenges what we want, what we maybe what would normally be our go-to course of action versus something that shows some meekness. Okay? What else do you think? What are some of the ways that we do this? Yeah. Yeah, what's our immediate reaction usually? All right, right? We got our hands up, we're ready to defend ourselves. Jesus tells us to approach that differently, doesn't he? So when you think about this a little bit, you know, some ways that we question or doubt the word of God sometimes have to do with how we look at things from a very humanistic response or aspect rather than a godly way. Yeah, Helene, go ahead.
It reminds me a little bit of a lesson that Jason gave about how you receive constructive criticism.
Mm-hmm.
Is your first reaction to question the person who's the messenger?
Sure.
Like, is our first reaction to doubt God or to question him or to question our brother or sister who comes to us with his word?
Okay.
And I think that's something we can all work on even if we're in Christ today.
Yeah, I think so. See, a lot of times we notice that it's not a natural tendency to apply meekness to those situations. Our natural tendency, as we've said a few times before, is we have rights. We're not going to be run over. We're going to make sure that we stand up for ourselves. We're not going to be taken advantage of. That's a strong sense that we have, especially in our society today. And what James tells us in the idea of receiving with meekness the implanted word is understanding that God's way is best. And maybe we don't understand just why some things that he asks of us, you know, why he asks those things. But the idea of having strength under control is that I'm going to be calm, I'm going to be consistent. It takes strength to say, you know what, even if I don't quite understand it, I'm going to go with what God says that I need to do. And I'm going to try that, and that's going to be my first response. That's one of the things we want to think about. Yes, Susan?
I think sometimes the problem is we don't know what God's word is, and we're not going to try to find out what his word is.
Okay.
You know, someone says something to us, maybe, and we just go on.
Okay.
And you have to study the word of God to know what it is.
Right. To be able to appreciate what it is that he wants of us, to be able to receive it, you first have to know what that is, right? And that gives us the idea of being able to be ready, to have the right attitude to do that. So think about Acts 17 and verse 11. We quote this verse a lot for different reasons, but the author used it in the lesson here this morning, I think for good reason. It talks about those who were in Berea, and it says, "Now those Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so." So here you have a group of people who had previously known differently as far as the scriptures go and what direction they were headed as Jews, and they were willing, they had an open mind, they were willing to look at the scriptures, see if what was being taught matched with the things they had learned over all of those years and their forefathers had taught them, how it prophesied about Christ, who Christ was, what that meant, and they were willing to accept that. And that's the kind of mindset that we want to be able to have. It takes a meek attitude, not timid, not weak, but strength under control. It takes that type of attitude to look at the Word of God and accept it. Think about the Jews in this situation. Why would it be necessary for them to have meekness in accepting what the Word said? Think about where they are. Why would that be necessary for them? Yeah, Marybeth?
At that point in time, wasn't the word changing their whole worldview?
Yeah.
What they had been thinking and expecting for hundreds and hundreds of years?
Right. Yeah. The Messiah turned out to be something different than they thought that it was going to be, right? And so for them to accept that, you know, they had to look at it, though they had a lot of knowledge, though they were the chosen people of God. You know, they thought they were going to have certain advantages in an earthly and physical sense that they did not have. And so, though they were very knowledgeable, it took meekness to look at that, to see what was being said, to hear Paul come and teach them something that was not what they expected it to be, and to accept it, and then be profitable with that. So there's things that we can learn from that, and that we want to be able to appreciate from that. Anybody else have a thought on something like that? Yeah, Paul?
When I read Acts 17:11, I always, in years past, I've always looked at that word noble.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people think, well, they're noble, like they're almighty and they're high. That's not what that word means at all.
No.
It just means that they have their mindset on the things that will make them better, make them more knowledgeable, make them work better in their everyday lives.
Right.
And that, of course, is what us getting that implanted word from God with meekness, it does the same effect.
Okay.
It allows our minds to be open and to capture the things that we need.
Okay. Yeah, the idea of being, you know, sometimes it's defined as high-minded. So it doesn't mean looking down on others, but rather the idea of being willing to accept what it is that is being said. I think that's good to understand. And, you know, so when we look at this all the way across, we've looked at a couple of these verses when we were studying James, but appreciate that throughout the Word of God, we're told that we need to approach what it is that he's teaching us and how we're going to interact with other people with the right attitude and with an attitude of meekness, which goes back to this whole study of self-control. It's not necessarily a natural response. We have to work at that. I'd like you to think for just a moment, how do you do that? How do you become meek in that way? We'll ask that question here in a moment. But 2 Timothy 2, it talks about the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. There's that same word that we translate with meekness, that God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of truth. So how we approach things and how we teach others has to do with meekness as well. So this is one of the, I guess we switched subjects a little bit. We talked about receiving with meekness. Think about teaching with meekness. That's what we see here in this verse, is being able to teach others with that same type of attitude. So in thinking about that, remember what Peter has written to us, a verse that we know well in 1 Peter 3 and verse 15. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Be ready always to give a defense to everyone who asks you the reason of hope. And how does he say to do that? With meekness and fear. Right? So let's consider that for a moment here. I'm going to get to my questions eventually. 2 Timothy 2 and 1 through 3. Let's read that and then talk about a couple of things here. It says, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, that what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." So here's that idea of teaching and training the things that we know, the things that we have learned. And he talks about the idea of suffering as a good soldier of Christ. So I didn't go into a lot of depth about teaching with meekness because we talked about that in Josh's class about James and about how we don't want to be arrogant, but how we go about teaching things. But when we're thinking about applying meekness in our lives and thinking about teaching others and the necessity of that, Paul talks about continuing to train others and entrust this knowledge that we learn to other faithful men, but understand that there could be suffering that comes along with that. So how might you suffer today as a result of some of the teaching that you do? And how does meekness and self-control go into that? Think about that for a minute. How might you suffer today because of teaching? We don't live in a third world country. We don't live where we don't have a free government at this point in time. So how would this apply to us? What do you think? Yeah, Jake?
Should we have pride, our pride will suffer. We'll probably be called many things for teaching and trying to save souls. Terrible things. I mean, okay, we'll be called absolutely deplorable things.
You're dramatic.
Worse. I've been called much worse. I mean, terrible things. Things that you can't even speak about.
Okay.
Just because you read some scripture to a person. If you have pride, that's going to hurt you.
Okay.
If you are simply a servant doing what is your duty, hopefully you will not suffer as much.
Okay, yeah. So think about that, you know, what you might be called. You know, how does meekness play into something like that? David, what were you going to say?
Some of the suffering is losing your friends, losing family members because of your stand in certain situations and not attending things because of, you know, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Lose that stuff of that, their relationships even among their own family because of these situations.
Okay. And that's, you know, just think about what he has just said. You know, you think about losing your own family. Those aren't just words that roll off of our tongues. I mean, that's heavy stuff, isn't it? When you have close relationships that you have that are there because of, you know, blood, and then those change or have to change because of your standing for the truth. That takes some control here. A couple other comments here. Yes. Yes, go ahead.
When people reject the word, sometimes we take it personal.
Okay.
And as a personal attack, if you will.
Right.
But we have to realize it's not us who are rejecting, it's God who rejects.
Sure.
So then you move on and you pray that they will, their heart will be open.
Right. That's something to think of. So, and not being personally offended when someone rejects something you have said, that takes some strength under control, doesn't it? To be able to do that, yeah. Doug, do you have something?
I think the key to this is I don't see verse 3 as really being a continuation of verse 1 and 2. The key to this is as a good soldier in Christ, and so you're going to suffer as a soldier, as facing an opponent, facing the enemy. how does the enemy fight? Well, the enemy doesn't fight with meekness.
Right.
But if we're going to be victorious, we need to recognize that we can't use the enemy's tactics to gain a victory. Darkness does not overcome darkness.
Right.
Light dispels darkness. And light is about meekness, love, having love in our hearts towards our opponent. And so, as such, they're not going to come back the same way. They're not going to love you back. Hopefully they will. But for the most part, you're going to suffer. The broad way is the right way.
Right.
And we're trying to keep people off the broad way, or get them off the broad way and into the narrow way of Christ. So I think that's what's involved in the suffering there.
Yeah, I would agree. And as you think about that, as we're talking about receiving God's word with meekness, we're talking about teaching it with meekness, in a second we're going to talk about correcting sin with meekness. Go into that, go into those thoughts, approaching those, understanding that, some of what Doug said, that others are not going to respond the same way. You have to have set your mind beforehand that I'm going to approach it God's way. We think about the proverb that we looked at a couple of weeks ago. There's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. So approach it God's way, not our way. And though there may be suffering with that, I think that's a good thought. Darkness doesn't overcome darkness. So we want to be, children of light. And so thinking about that and how we teach others and how we deal with that and how we deal with what comes back from that has to do with the measure of self-control that we're trying to exhibit. Any other quick thoughts about that one before we move on? Yeah, Art?
I think you've got to be prepared for the attitudes of the individual you're trying to teach.
Okay.
If you ask, then you keep going to listen. But if you approach somebody that don't ask, you tell them that, you try to teach them there's only one church. And you're going to get hostility back.
That could very well be.
The world teaches they're all.
Sure. Right. And knowing that that can happen, then that should affect our approach. That we're going to approach this, as it said in 2 Timothy 2 there, with gentleness and meekness, with the right kind of heart. It doesn't mean back off the truth. Nothing that we've studied shows that. It just says, here's the right attitude that you should have as you approach those types of things, right? The other thing that we saw in part of the first part of Lesson 7, or last part of Lesson 7, was correct sin with meekness. So Galatians 6:1 that we're familiar with tells us, if anyone is caught in a transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Many people can quote this verse. We've looked at it several different times, but how does this relate to the idea of meekness in our lives? So ask this question. How would you prefer someone to come to you if you were caught up in a sin? It's not a trick question.
With love and them feeling that they can be taken by the same sin.
Okay. I think the second part of what you said is good. We all expect love, right? But yeah, with them feeling like they could be caught up in the same sin. So that affects their approach, doesn't it? It affects how they come to you. Does it mean that they should downplay the sin? When it says, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Does that mean that they downplay what has happened? No. But it means that it gets approached in a certain way. Does it depend on the sin or the situation? And if so, how? Or if not, how? What do you think? If someone is caught up in a very blatant sin, you found out that they were stealing and they went to jail for it. So you go visit them in jail and you're going to talk to them about that. So there's one situation. Or, you caught someone in what we will term as a little white lie. How do you approach this? Do two different things. Jake?
So the Bible actually, in the New Testament, we're told in there's different sins, there's different situations, and we're actually told, not that in each situation, this is how you handle it. In every situation, we're told, you know, okay, if this happens, then do this. And then another place, we'll see, if this happens, then do this.
Mm-hmm.
So if you kind of put all that stuff together, you can see that there are some different situations that require some different responses. And then depending on the consequences of the sin, you may choose to deal with it in a certain way, but always with a spirit of meekness and gentleness. Even if it's something that it needs to have a sharp rebuke, I think you could have a sharp rebuke in such a way that it's still overall generally being sensitive and being wise about what you're doing in a spirit of gentleness and meekness.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what do some others think about that? Yeah, Dave?
So sin is sin under God's eyes, right? But I think, you know, when you're working off of what he said, if, you know, somebody tells a white lie versus murder, you know, the consequences that they're going to have to deal with is going to be different versus like the murder situation. So it needs to be dealt with. But, you know, there's people that just like to go around pointing out what other people are doing wrong. And I think when Phil mentioned that before, that when you go in with the attitude that this could have happened to me or has happened to me or a good friend of mine, that attitude, I think, goes a long way. Everybody's different,
sure,
personality-wise, so the more you know of that person, you might have to change tactics or, you know,
change your approach.
Yeah. But I think it's still sin, whatever it is, and it needs to be addressed. Like you said, never downplayed.
Mm-hmm.
And, but, you know, as a child, when you're raising up a child, when they do wrong, you know, the sooner you correct it and they realize that's wrong, the better it will be for them versus letting it go on for a while before you address that situation.
Okay. A couple of interesting things here we're going to touch around. We've got several comments here. Let's grab a few more here. Jason?
Yeah, just I think as long as you rely on God's word as a standard, you're in safe territory. But getting to the truth, whether it be Paul, who very gently in letter, more forcefully in person, stating the prophet David, telling him this whole story, and convicting him before he even realizes it, every situation will present the best opportunity. But at the end of the day, it was God being the judge, God being the standard, and you as the messenger. Presenting it with that meekness, so that it's not you doing the judging, I think will bear the best fruit.
Okay, I think that's an important concept. I had a couple other ones here. Where did you go? Paul and Seth. Okay, Paul, go ahead.
I like to look at this on the other side. You know, it all depends on the sinner's situation. Of course, it's with meekness, gentleness, tenderness, and heart. But look at it from the individual you're talking to standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to know that individual.
Okay.
You know, you just can't go up and say, well, why are you coming to me now? You don't even speak to me for the last 6 months. Yeah, I mean, really. That happens. So, you know, we can respond to different individuals by the way we know them personally.
Okay.
You know, if it's a particular family member of mine, I might be able to be a little bit firmer with my discussion.
Okay. And them still appreciate your meekness because they know you. Right. Okay.
And the other way is just the opposite. With someone that you may not know that well. You may know and want to give them the idea that their response coming is this person is serious but loving.
Right. Right.
And from the other standpoint, a situation that could be, you could change that situation one way or the other by how you respond to the individual.
Okay. I think you see some common things coming through here. Let's grab Seth and then a couple over here, and then we'll make some conclusions. Go ahead, Seth.
Well, in terms of the situation, if it's a public sin or one that affects other members of the church, the way you handle it would probably be different, right? I mean, whether the handling of it has to be public,
sure,
versus
So, right, and so that is also going to have a degree then of, you know, what kind of gentleness of spirit do you have, and how you approach that, and how that's going to come across to the person. But yet, we want to stand, we always want to make sure that sin is rebuked and we stand for the truth. So, a good thought. Two more here. Rebecca?
I think it's also important to point out, if you're coming to a person, don't do it texting or messaging. You know, if you're coming to them, it needs to be in person. And if it can't be in person, then over the phone, so they can hear your voice and hear the sincerity that you have for that person.
Okay. Yeah.
So it doesn't come off as just...
I think that's a good thing to think about, because it's hard to convey tones and attitudes in textual media, isn't it? So emails and texts and Facebook posts and all that kind of thing about, you know, hey, I saw you here, and what's going on with this? Why are you acting this way? Josh, did you have something?
I think goal is important in concerning attitude. Goal in Galatians 6 is restore faith. Not go off on them, give them a piece of my mind. I really want to let them know how angry I am. I want to restore them.
Yeah.
And I think when we understand that's our goal, it's going to help us temper our...
Okay. Yeah, I think that's a good way to sum up all these different thoughts that we've talked about so far with this particular thing here in Galatians 6. I appreciate everybody's input. So we recognize that there are different situations, and maybe they do need to be approached differently depending on what it is. But in every situation, the goal is restoration, and that we're to approach it in a certain way, with a spirit of gentleness and with an attitude of remembering that none of us are perfect. There was one who was perfect, and he's no longer here on earth. He's reigning in heaven. And that we want to be more like him, so we want to have the right spirit in how we're approaching one another. Because, again, the goal is restoration. So when we think about it that way, that helps us then apply self-control to the situation, and remember to then, you know, use meekness in how we're going forward with it. We have just a couple minutes here. I want to touch on this last point that was in lesson 8, dealing with problems and disagreements with meekness. And he quoted Ephesians chapter 4 here in the first couple of verses of that. He tells us in verse 1 to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. And then in verse 2, with all humility and gentleness or meekness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So if there are problems and disagreements, sometimes those are going to be centered around sinful actions, as we've just talked about. Sometimes they're just going to be disagreeing about how to go about things or what the best approach is. And the encouragement here is to use self-control and to use meekness in our dealings one with another. And I think that's important. We've talked about this verse in James 1. And I'm kind of going to leave you with this morning as we finish this up, where he said in James 1:19 that we need to be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. So, is that the first thing that you think of? Is this verse and those principles, are those the first things that you think of when you come up to a confrontation with your brother or sister? I'm going to say usually not. For me, it's not. Okay, I need to work on that. And so something happens, there's a disagreement, and immediately usually we have in our minds, you know, either what they're doing is not right, or this isn't the right way to go about it, or I want to go about it this way. Sometimes there's issues of control, there's issues of priority, and we often approach things kind of not this way. So, I would, you know, as we think about how to practically put these principles of self-control and meekness in our lives, we don't have time to go on and talk about more of them here, I would encourage you to in some way take this verse, write it down, because when you write things it helps you remember them. Write it down, put it in the front of your Bible someplace, post it on your car, on the dashboard of your car, or wherever it is that you see things regularly, and try to make it a practice in studying that if I'm going to approach a problem with my brother, or I'm going to approach a difficulty with someone, especially in the church, I'm going to think about this verse before I say anything. I think that would help. It helps us have the right spirit. It doesn't mean that you back down from the truth. That's the strength part. But the under control part is quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. We're going to have to stop there because we're out of time. So we'll take up lesson 9 next week. Thank you so much for your discussion this morning.